Welcome. I declare the meeting open at 12:41 and in doing so recognise the traditional owners of the land, the Kariyarra people, their leaders past, present, who have and are still contributing to the betterment of the town of Port Hedland. So welcome everybody. Record of attendance. Do we have any apologies, Neil?
Should we put Dr. Ken King as an apology?
Yes. He
did. Okay, well, we'll list Dr. King as an apology. Approved leave of absence. Mr. Serge Donoghue.
Excuse me, have we got Florence Bennett as an apology?
We haven't, but she's not here.
She's passed
it on to me. Okay, so shall we list both Florence and Dr. King as apologies? Item 3, response to previous questions taken on notice. 3.1, questions from public at the airport committee meeting held on Wednesday 30th October 2013. There were nil. 3.2, questions from committee members at airport committee meeting of the same date. There were nil. Item 4, public time. Important to note that this meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute-taking purposes, which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for recording your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is also reminded that in accordance with section 20.3 of the Town of Port Hedland local law on standing orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meetings unless the person has been given permission by the chairperson to do so. Item 4.1, public question time. I declare public question time open at 1:44, and there being no public, 12:44. Thank you, Lorraine. My glasses. 12:44, there being no public, I declare it closed at 12:44 as well. Public statement time, declared open at 12:49 and 12:45. There being no public, I close public statement time at 12:45 as well. Item 5, questions from members without notice. Jan, Councillor Gillingham.
Yes, I do actually, from Mr. Michael Jennings today from Port Hedland School of the Air. Regarding staff parking, apparently he has had some conversations with the director of engineering, and he said he often sees Town of Port Hedland staff cars parked in the short-term car park. Does Town of Port Hedland pay that fee, or is that a free parking that they do? I guess it's a relevant question, because other people have actually asked me that before when they've seen the staff park, because you obviously don't have a lot of staff parking in where your airport building is. So I just want to ask that question, and if we could sort of pass the information back on.
Sure, the question then, Director, is whether the staff of the Town of Port Hedland pay parking.
Through the Chair, the staff don't pay parking, but the town pays FBT. So pay fringe benefits tax on the vehicles parking in there.
Thank you, Director. So,
and we've actually, I think we've provided that information through to Mr. Jennings.
Okay, thanks. Councillor Gillingham, anything else?
Yeah, my other question with the parking is on this new proposed plan, which has just been presented to us. I know it's not completed yet, but with all the purple marking here, is that all rental car parking?
Yes.
So through the chair, does that mean that there is enough car parking in the red zone for, you know, the influx of more planes that we're going to have? Because it seems that the car parking is getting, rental car parking is sort of getting a bit of precedence here.
We'll ask Mr. Rees to answer that. Will there be more information through the presentation coming?
Not through the presentation on this one, but I can confirm that parking space is actually designed to be flexible, so the bollards that are internal within the car park are designed to be movable.
Okay.
The intention of that is, as demand changes between the rental cars and the public parking, we can actually move the bays. So we can actually track. There is an additional, I think it's an additional 45 to 50 bays encapsulated within that plan.
Okay.
So that should see us through the next 5 to 10 years and then Bendy can actually change the space, reconfigure it.
Oh, thank you. And then the green staff parking here, which I guess is the parking which is similar to what's there now, but will be redesigned near the white airport building? Or does that mean the airport building will be non-existent then?
Yeah, through the chair. Yeah. For two reasons. The terminal takes away about a third of the operations building, and then the remainder is demolished and used for parking.
Okay.
So it encapsulates existing parking plus building.
All right, thank you. And then with the drop-off, that's just about, as you say, about 7 minutes, which is free parking drop-off. But what will the parking be inside the red zone? Will it still be the half an hour free at this point in time when it's all up and running?
Through the chair, that decision's yet to be made.
Okay, thank you. Had to ask.
Yeah, no, it will be part of a business case review.
Right, okay. That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Gillingham. Councillor Butson? Mayor Howlett, welcome back.
Thank you. I have four, please, Madam Chair. Just wondering if you might be able to enlighten me, or perhaps our colleagues can. Just wondering with Qantas and their current financial situation, and just wondering, have we received any information from Qantas, and is there any potential that might affect services? And I'm worried about
Sure. Thank you, Mayor Howlett. I believe there was some communication around the Qantas. I'll throw that to our lease officer, Sarah. Is that, would you?
Through the chair, sorry, I'm clarifying.
Did we see some communication come back about the lease with Qantas, CEO?
Look, I think in terms of standard, what's happening today, I think it's business as usual with Qantas. There's been, I'm really only commenting on what I've read in the national press, which is that if you take the CEO of Qantas's view, they're going through a bit of a tough time, but they're going to trade okay. Airline industries are notorious for doing things tough at times, and that Qantas's cost structures have to be changed. He's, I guess the message that I've received from Alan Joyce through the national press is that they believe they've got a very, very sound operating model. Mm. In terms of our own commercial arrangements for Qantas, we've got the current lease for the Qantas Club. There's an item in today's agenda about some more check-in counters, and they pay their fees based on the prescribed schedule of fees and charges that Council has adopted. There is a small issue there where we haven't necessarily been paid on the 13-14 fees that Council has adopted, and that's probably an internal issue that we're addressing right now.
So through the chair, we have that every year with Qantas. Every year our fees and charges, say we have the same bun fight for a few months that they want us to justify those fees, why they're paying the increased fees, and it's happened every year since I've been here.
So just on that point, Director, does that include those automated bays? That's the communication that came through. We haven't resolved that at council level, have we?
Automated bays.
So they're checking counters.
The automated, they wanted to reduce the lease term.
That's
to be discussed. So that'll come up as well.
It's just their landing fees. We have the ongoing every year, same
thing. So my only other comment, if I can, through the chair, is that certainly the Perth to Port Hedland route is probably one of the most profitable, I would suggest, for the airlines, the commercial airlines that fly here. Notwithstanding that, Qantas need to sort out their operating model and their debt capacity as well. I don't know, Brett, if you've got any further comment on the global position of airlines and Qantas?
Through the chair, look, it's a position that other airlines find themselves in. Their share price has gone to junk, what they call junk status. It sounds a lot worse than it is. I think it's still a double B plus rating. And a lot of airlines are sitting on double B plus ratings. There's very few that were sitting above that. Qantas was trying to guard that rating because it held that rating very highly in high esteem. Obviously, that does affect their cost of debt. Having said that, that doesn't mean that they're in operational trouble. It's just an outlook put out by rating agencies just to say that the outlook for the airline is not as rosy as it was, because they're expecting the airline to actually produce a large loss, around $300 million, I think. But they have over $3 billion in cash in the bank, they can trade for a lot. They can trade at a loss for quite some time.
Mm.
Having said that, they won't want to do that.
Mm.
The situation they find themselves in is more about their policies on the line in the sand policy, which is they want to maintain a 65% market share.
Mm.
That has meant a bit of a price war with Virgin,
mm.
And so it's of their own making, I guess. So they can change their policy and return to profitability. It's not that easy, but
mm.
I don't foresee there being any ongoing liquidity issues into the future.
Cool.
I'll just add to that. Said,
sorry? Yeah, sure.
Look, Qantas set up Jetstar, and their low-cost carrier became their nemesis. They got a hive off. They got a hive off the legacy carrier part and split their international route and separate away from Jetstar. If you know the background, Joyce actually came from Jetstar, so he had the expertise to bring Jetstar up to the stage it is now. Then he moved into the Qantas side, which was, as a legacy carrier, is a whole different ball game. So that's where the mix-up came. So Jetstar has been competing with the Qantas major. But they'll sort that out. I don't have any fears of Qantas being fine.
Thank you, Bob. Mayor Howland, do you have other questions?
Just wondering, in terms of definition and terminology, is the South Headland Cemetery within the airport precinct?
No.
I don't think yes.
So, through the chair, we've looked to change that terminology, even Precinct 3, coming out of the airport, so that it's really now a commercial land transaction, and that will occur outside of there. The Port Hedland Cemetery, I think, is under a separate reserve.
It is, yeah.
It's not covered under the original freehold land of the airport, so there's separate title or management order for the cemetery.
It's outside the airport boundary.
Thank you.
And, just to clarify, mm-hmm. and the new boundary fence that we've put on the western side of the airport.
Southern.
Southern cemetery?
No, southern side of the airport.
Okay.
The original airport boundary cuts the original boundary itself.
Yep.
Is the cemetery is outside of that.
The fence between the airport and Precinct 3, that's the southern boundary.
I better get my compass realigned.
Anyhow.
On the southern boundary will now become the new airport.
Boundary.
That is the new airport boundary.
Okay. Mayor Howard, do you have a question following on from that?
Yeah, I have two more. Just wondering if there's some opportunities to maybe just take it on notice, if we can look into opportunities to sell advertising on our Port Hedland International Airport website. I'm just quite keen the bus shuttle service airport shuttle thing. I know they were keen to advertise, and I think our website would be a great way to sell some spots and advertise. And just so wondering, opportunities to sell advertising on our website. Where are we at with the trolleys advertising and the advertising that appears on the trolleys, and whether there's opportunity to put some sell advertising space around the payment station around there. Just thinking of some more advertising areas. So just take it on notice if someone could look into that.
Thank you, ma'am. That's very good.
Just wondering, these are probably really issues that shouldn't be discussed here, but maybe if you point me in the right direction for future. When I walk across to the long-term parking, where I often park, I have to drag my suitcases through dirt all the time. Like, there's no connection to the footpath, and I just can't understand why we can't get rid of that dirt. And just yesterday, I got wet feet trying to walk into the terminal. There's all water from the air conditioning crossing across, and could have been a slip hazard as well. Like, it just looks crap, and I just wonder where could I normally bring these up, and when can we fix those little things up?
Thanks for the question, CEO.
So two parts of that is an initial request straight into council at Port Hedland, works request.
Mm-hmm.
I think in terms of the longer term, that wayfinding and making it a better experience for everyone who uses the Port Hedland International Airport has to be addressed. And and you'd be well aware, as you go through that area, there's not only the disruption of level surfaces, but you've got hire cars parked right back over the half of the footpath, and there's a whole range of things that we need to address to make it a better experience for any of our clientele.
Can we have issues reporting box at the airport or something? Like, I just don't think the wider public are aware of the council reporting system, and just
yep.
you know, like yesterday, to me that water going across there was a safety hazard. It didn't look nice, but it was a safety thing as well. Just how do you quickly report it so it gets action and sorted out?
Thank you, Mayor Hollett. I think that's a great suggestion, and we should take that on notice, and we should be able to put in a public suggestion box.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be a problem at all. I think it's a great idea for the whole thing in general.
So just without getting into detail, the other point I guess we've had some discussions with is about whether there should be a front of house reference point.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment our focus is airside,
yep.
And then we've got other users within the terminal, but there's actually no presence for the airport, and we've been wondering how we might address that short term, longer term.
Okay. That'd be great. So, Madam Chair, do I still need to fill out a works request for those two items, or will someone take them on board?
No, I've got those.
That's all. Thank you, Mayor Howard.
Following on from what Mel said about making it a pleasant experience at the airport, the last couple of weeks I've spent quite a bit of time in airports travelling, and one of the things, and you know, this is the right time of the year that attracted my attention to Sydney Airport and Auckland Airport was Christmas decorations. They were festive. And can I make a request that we purchase substantial decorations to make it a welcoming, festive place going into the future with our new terminal and everything like that?
Councillor Hunt, that's a sensational suggestion. We will take it on notice. It has been noted that not only the airport, but the town in general is lacking somewhat of a festive feel. So we are certainly
moving from the Grinch to the festivities.
Sydney was really beautiful. We got into Perth yesterday. Yep. They had two piddly little trees. I'm not joking. My tree was bigger than that in my house and what they had in Perth. But Sydney was stunning.
So I might ask the manager of airport if he's got any green and tinsel hidden somewhere in his storage rooms that he might be able to drag out and dust off.
Years, but some of it was supplied by the airlines.
We saw it at Albert, they had those beautiful professional Christmas displays. Yeah. Sorry, through the chair. And we know they're available for commercial tasks.
Thank you, Councillor Hutt. CEO?
Look, I was just going to suggest, in a broader sense, we need to look at a Christmas strategy almost in terms of our decorations, not only for the airport but across the community. Oh, yeah. The airport's part of it. Obviously it needs a budget, and it's probably something we need to start off with and add something each year. And a lot of the Christmas decorations, especially in this environment, are only going to last 3 to 4 years, and you need to then dispose of them and start again. So you almost need to look at that as a recurring process. Perhaps a standard budget each year, buy something, add, replace.
Yep.
So we'll have a talk about that and bring that forward into the 14-15 budget process.
Pleased to hear that.
Wonderful suggestion, Councillor Hunt, and you'll be happy to know there's a stationary audit that'll help pay for that.
the appropriate person missed that comment.
I didn't miss it at all. I've got it. You wait. You are going to be sorry you're raised,
aren't you? Okay. Councillor
Gillingham? Yes. I'm just coming out of the airport today. I know that Director of Engineering has said that there's going to be new road structure along the front there, and that new parking, I believe, going to be in place. Will that be in place by the end of January?
Before school starts. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's a small footpath to put in to some crosswalks, and before everyone gets excited, we can only put them in because they're our roads and they're internal roads. So,
yes.
That's on that road across, and there's some signage and some other things which we had a meeting with RFDS and the school of the year,
yeah.
And a letter's been sent to them on that these are the arrangements that are going to be made.
Okay, yeah.
And then, there's some other arrangements for RFDS outside of the normal business hours if they've got emergency stuff as well. So.
Okay, good.
Thanks. You, Director. Thank you, Council. Okay, moving on to Item 6, declaration by members to have given consideration to all matters contained in the business paper presented before them. Can I have a show of hands, please?
I'm not raising my hand.
Okay, that's right. Let the record reflect 4 with 1, Councillor Hunt. Councillor Hunt. Suggestion that she hadn't had a chance to read it.
I just got them prior to the meeting,
yeah.
So I haven't given it due consideration.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Item 7, confirmation of minutes of previous meeting. I need somebody to move and accept the meeting held on Wednesday, 30th October, to be confirmed as true and correct. May I have a mover? Thank you, Councillor Butson, seconded by Councillor Hunt. Announcement by presiding members without discussion. Just a quick one, just to let you know. Sorry, I'll vote. Sorry, all in favour? 5-0. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Just as an item on item 8, I did arrange a meeting as chair, as presiding member, with the program director of the airport to discuss a few sort of minor changes to the committee meeting structure to allow for financials to be presented within the committee. I think it's important that if we're talking about programming 70 million plus of improvements, that we be aware of some financial information within the structure of the committee meeting. And also I've asked that as a strategic, with a strategic view of, we as the committee members should be talking and inviting key stakeholders or key speakers to our meetings, so that they can come and talk to us about what might affect what we plan, how their operations might affect what we're planning moving forward. So it's a little bit of a keynote speaker type, and I've asked them to investigate who might be worth bringing that to our attention, so that we can be informed as well as work with other stakeholders in this area. So that's about all I have to report. Thank you very much. We'll move on to item 9, petitions, deputations, presentations and submissions. And we'll continue with the Program Director's Airport Redevelopment Update. Mr. Rees, all yours again. Thank you.
Does who want to get a sandwich or something?
Please.
Do you want some plates?
I'm not putting my lights on this. I can take them to the terminal.
I said substantial. I didn't say.
Oh, mine, I've got substantial lights on.
Right. Is the thing open? The drink?
You got a key or your keys?
I haven't got mine.
No.
I can go again.
No, I just want a glass of water.
Have you got your keys? No, not that key. The key to the drinks fridge.
When we went through there, the first thing we got was the carousel, was where the luggage comes out. You know how it comes out through that rubber flaps. They had them looking like a half of a you know, they just had, it was just a sticky thing that just went around that. And they had, you know, big trees. I'm not talking about the little ones, but you know, big commercial trees. And then bits of garland around the big poles. You know, it was really lovely. We get into
In terms of the previous slide, this is just depicting where the Golden Eagle, we then move down to the apron expansion down in this zone through here as part of what you might call stage one. Okay, so now having established this is underway and under construction, the general aviation expansion is completed. That would be towards the end of September 2014. By the time you've got that completed, established, etc., and then the hangar would move, and that would be a high-level estimate at this stage, relocated and operating by March 2015. So but while you're doing that, you'd be focusing on the freight zone. So the freight zone, the moving of the freight zone enables the terminal expansion, and enables the existing freight terminal to move, and it relies on the services being established within the freight logistics zone. Having said that, there are some services. Russell and I have had a very quick catch-up on this. There is some water in there. We can start some of these works ahead of time. And when we get to the overall program, you'll see there's quite a lot of overlap, because we're allowing for the fact that there is sufficient water to start some of it, not all of it. And in terms of the Commission's approval, Planning Commission approval, we'd be looking at an interim arrangement around sewer. So it might be with septics, it might be storage and trucking. Oh, it will definitely be trucking to the wastewater treatment plant in South Head Heaven as an initial stage.
So through the chair there, how did that hold us up at any stage, or were we able to sort of smooth through that?
It has the potential to hold us up, the services side of things. It does have the potential. When you see the program, you'll see it's quite tight. We need to engage early next year with Water Corp, establish agreements to then go into the development and procurement phase. The sort of sums we're talking about is about $5 million for water. There's potential to share that with BHP. There's $9 million for sewer. There's potential to share that with things like the Walkabout Inn and others, because essentially we're having sewer connected to our sites. Not guaranteed we can. But I guess what I'm saying is there's $13 million worth of work in there, so obviously it'll be a business plan and the like, and so there'll be our own processes that we need to work through. So when you see the timeframes, you'll see that that's quite tight when you look at how we're trying to do it. As I said, we can start a lot of the freight logistics zone. Even so, the key will be the nature of the approval from the Planning Commission, because it will be subject to connection to water and soil, or a wastewater treatment plant or something else. Okay, so with the establishment of the GA hangar, we then move the existing freight shed or have a new one or even a new operator over in the freight zone. So we've now established those three pieces to the puzzle. The freight zone's underway. We need to move towards the op zone. So the op zone will enable us to once again expand the terminal and relocate the current GA area, general aviation area, which would have been already underway at that stage. Just looking at my notes very quickly. End September 2015 is the likely date to have established the ops zone and create a management centre in there. So that goes from there to there. And this is all to facilitate the car park and terminal expansion as we go forward. So the logistics zones enables the rental car to then be moved. We need to move the rental car so we can start a lot of the car park works. We can stage the car park works around the rental cars. The car parking works, we'd be out with an EOI and agreements for leases to establish agreements with the car parking operators, and we would be looking at them relocated by end 2015. So they would relocate into that zone there. So basically from out of that zone there, they're actually right across some of that parking through there, but over into that zone through there. And that then enables the car park and terminal. They're actually linked together, and those works are quite logical to be undertaken together. So that those works could then commence. They will probably commence. As I said, there's a lot of overlap, and you'll see that in the next slide. Okay, so just looking at the overall program, there's a couple of things to add to this program as we move on, which will be the general aviation works, and the Northern Open Works are there, but I want to add to it the relocation of the Golden Eagle and the operations building into this, and the interim works I'll add into this program as well. What I'm trying to do for the committee is to create a picture of the overall program, so a holistic document that just shows the timelines. But basically, what we've got now looking at these is a negotiation period. We've allowed 3 months in here with Water Corp. We've got the ring main, basically, Russell, being finished early in 2014, which I think is about right. A design stage, a tender procurement stage through here, with construction starting. It'll be us running the construction, but we'll be using program managers from Water Corp, because they'll end up owning the facilities. So it'll be starting in and around the end September, October period, 2014. 6 months for water is what we've been advised by Water Corp, and about 2 years for sewer. So sewer's a bit of a problem. There's no clear way of getting it through, so there's a lot of ifs and buts. And that's based on Water Corp's best estimation at this stage. So sewer we won't have until end April 2016. What that means is we need contingency plans around the other developments, sewer, septic, storage, truckage, and the like to deal with the sewer. There are some other environmentally friendly solutions that we can adopt as well, bearing in mind bird attraction and the like, but there are some contingencies that we can put in place so it doesn't slow us down, but it does have the potential to slow us down. So then we've got the freight logistics area and the subdivision through here. We're looking at design review, which is basically getting that back through the Planning Commission and just getting the engineers to look, run their eyes over the subdivision again, getting the documentation completed, going out to tender, with construction starting mid-2014 and being completed by the end 2014. Once we're underway and we know when the end date is here, we can go through the agreement for lease process with all the car rental operators, and they said it will be a bit of an expression of interest process that we'll put them through. We're looking at lifting their concession fee from 8.5% to 12.5%. That's going to form the business case to actually fund a lot of this. So they will be basically, hopefully agreements will have been reached by September 2014. That should be doable. And then that's basically their construction line for them to build. We've allowed 12 months for them to relocate and get over to that zone and have their workshops re-established. So that puts them at end 2015. Then the freight hub. Once we've started these processes here and the timelines are starting to firm up, we can prepare an RFP and we can start that process in the second quarter of 2014. Agreement for lease with the operator, and this is a build, own and operate format that we're looking at to establish a common user freight facility or a commercial operator. It may not be common user, it just depends on who's got the lion's share of the work, but a commercial operator who will operate an international freight facility for us to establish our international freight hub. And then that's their timeline for construction, about 12 months, which would see the freight hub being completed by mid-2015. As I said, there's about $3 million, Russell, worth of works in the ring main, I think. There's $5 million in that, there's $9 million in that. Subdivision, $8.36 million. That's costs by others, but say our costs for legal fees and et cetera, allow $150,000. Same in here. This then allows us to start the terminal project and the car park. And as you can see, the tendering for design, the design phases are aligned because the two projects are going to be lined up. This is basically an engineering design aspect. Car parking, it doesn't need a lot of it doesn't need any architectural work, quite frankly, but we're able to try and capture the placemaking in there anyway. But we're going to actually do it all as one package with the architects leading the design phase, car parking and terminal as well. That can be delivered a whole lot more quickly. Obviously, it's not as complicated as building a new terminal over the top of an operating terminal, so that can be delivered more quickly. It'll come down to the relocation of the rental cars though, because that will determine how quickly we can do this. So that'll be staged construction through the car park, because as the car rental operators relocate, more of the car park can be developed, and that'll come down to how quickly we can reach agreements. But at this stage, we've got that being completed by end 2015. That's about a $4 million project there. The terminal itself can't physically commence until early 2015 because of all these other works up here that need to now be placed. That then means that there's about a 15-month to 18-month time frame through here. Terminal should be completed at this stage if we go with this program by end 2016. High-level costs at this stage for the terminal are about $45 million. It's easy if you say it quickly, but yes, it's quite a bit of money. But it was originally staged over 10 years. It was about $60 million. Initial spend was about $20-25 million. But because the strategy has now changed, we can save some money, but it means spending more money up front, basically, at this stage. Bearing in mind, guys, it is high-level costs. There's no detailed QS at this stage. We've just had the Raven engineers run their eyes over it, and based on rates per square metre, come up with a high-level costing for us. So some science in it, but not, you know. So it may be less than that, and that's why I guess I'm saying.
So Brett, just on the terminal, we had a discussion yesterday with the executive about the program and aligning program with cash flows and just having a look at how that might have looked. there's a benefit if we can delay it, but there's probably some risk if there's sudden growth again.
Yes, there is that risk.
Yep. And so even the interim program will provide some better amenity, but we still sit with some risk, I guess, if we see sudden growth.
Yeah, the interim program will allow us to treble the size just through some clever internal works, and you've seen those plans before. I have got those plans up here today, but basically by knocking out a bunch of internal walls and changing the secure area, we're more than trebling the space. So that's buying us some breathing space. Potentially we could slip this another year, I believe. So I think that we can buy that kind of time. But there's the risk there might be another sudden surge. That's the risk.
So the interim program's not shown in your timeframes at all. Is it part of this?
No, I'm gonna add that.
You're doing that. So yeah. That's got to be added.
That will be
way ahead of any other terminal projections here.
At this stage, so
that'll be pretty much immediate.
The works which I'll take you through shortly, all completed by mid-2014, absolutely everything. Pretty much immediate. Terminal could slip another year with what we're proposing in terms of interim program. So if we need to buy that breathing space, we can. And that means some of the other projects could slip a little bit as well, if that's the decision taken. Okay, so in terms of industry workshops, this one's slipped a little bit. We've had our first meeting. We did that this week with the airlines. Quite a robust discussion, I have to say, but I think we got there in the end, Bob. We actually got agreement from them to go power in pushback by November 2014. My first cut was September, so that's good. It's basically they've said, let's work towards November, and as an interim arrangement, let's do the line marking, the new line marking, and let's start that operation. Which would be nose in, power out. We're going to be 15 metres back from the terminal, so that will help with jet blast issues, because that was the major concern. And then we'll move towards the procurement of equipment, etc. There's still some discussion over who should own the equipment, whether it be the ground handler, which I think is the airline's preference, or whether it's us. We're kind of concerned about the risk involved in one ground handler owning the equipment, and what happens if they lose the contract, what happens if, it takes time to get new equipment up and a new operator running, but do we leave that risk with the airlines or do we manage it ourselves? We could simply increase the passenger charge and then provide the equipment. It does add some complexities to operating, but airports don't traditionally do it, but it's one of the discussions we're having.
So it's not a model that's done in other regional airports? They have the ground handlers.
I think
we'd be the first regional airport in Australia to go to it. And one of the things that the airlines are a bit skittish about is that once that we make a move and go into every airport in Australia and want to do it because it's the most economical way to operate. Their chief pilot made the comment at the meeting on Monday that if it is an option, I'd tell you we go push back tomorrow. The only thing that from his point of view, that was holding it back was, apart from the consideration of the airlines, what were they going to get out of it, his consideration was on operational procedures. I tell you that at the moment, without an operational tower, you don't have a ground service, a ground movement controller. But they're things we can work through. I think that the timeline that was set was a point in time that we can work back from if need be.
So maybe we bring that to the committee later on to have a bit of a briefing on and workshop. Is that right? To get an understanding of what is.
So in essence, it would be Northwest Aviation would become do that, wouldn't they?
Yeah,
they'd become the operator. They'd do the training. They'd be operating the power and pushback time operation. Mm-hmm. We need to work out the what's the right word for it, Bob? Ground communications with the pilots. I'm forgetting the word, but
there's a lot of things we've got to go through. So we've got to sort out that the litigations. I tell you where it lies with insurance. There's a whole ream of stuff that actually's got to be sorted through.
Hence the program we're working towards now.
But I can assure you, at the end of the day, it will be the most effective airport, regional airport in Australia.
Cool.
Next one.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, and the apron down the bottom there, which we have under design now. I don't know if Ian's started now. Has he, Bob?
Yeah. And we've got very good pricing because we're just down the other side. So
yeah. Yeah, which is great. So I don't think anyone disagrees with that timeline I've put in there. I think, Russell, that was just from a high-level conversation with you. So basically we've got it being completed to around September 2014, which will then allow the movement. So what I'll do with this particular program is I'm going to add in there the relocation of Golden Eagle and the operations building and the interim works program as well. Okay, interim improvement program. So there's a series of works that have been identified And we've increased the scope because of the slippage in timing and the puzzle, I guess, is probably the best way and I guess the key strategies for the interim program is congestion, is easing congestion, using the existing footprint and being clever about how we design and configure the footprint, improving the amenity within the precinct as well to establish a better vista for passengers, positioning. So we're going to start to position the placemaking within the existing interim works program get that ball rolling, so to speak, and we'll have things like an art wall and stuff like that, and we're going to have an EOI for that to pretty up the face of the terminal, and also we'll do stuff inside as well. Basically this is recognising the timelines, I guess is the easiest way to put that, and it will be drawing on placemaking as well going forward. Okay. So the secure area will incorporate the cafe within that area. Part of the conversation we've had with the cafe this week is about the establishment of a coffee cart. So once we've put the main cafe airside, it means that there's no landside cafe opportunity. But we can, next to Karratha Flying Services, next to their check-in counters, there's sufficient space in there to put a coffee cart in there, and we can change the seating in there to cafe-style seating within that zone. I've taken the Esplanade through that this week, and they've gone off to investigate the purchase of a coffee cart on the assumption that we might help them. So it might be a 50-50 thing. We would then retain ownership of the coffee cart ourselves as a council. We could use it elsewhere, redeploy it later on. But basically it will help with the interim works program. So that was a conversation I had with them, was, look, we'll help you with the cost, but we'll own it. We might want to use that elsewhere within the town, potentially.
Why do we want
to? Just down to cost. It's just negotiation at this stage. it's just really to get it going, because I think there's no obligation on their part to actually do it. They've agreed to becoming post-screening. They can see the benefits in that. But the community feedback was that there's a number of farewellers that don't particularly want to go through a screening process. They just want to sit down and have a coffee with their family that might be departing. And so this is about just creating an area for that. Plus it gives us the added opportunity to pick up the meters, who are waiting there for people arriving as well. So there's a business opportunity there. We get a share of that turnover as part of that proposition.
Can the business opportunity be extended to other coffee?
So
we've got 15 million mobile coffee people in town. They might be interested in taking up as a sole business.
I'd need to defer to the lease just to make sure that it's, I don't think it's exclusive. I think we can probably do that. If
they don't want to do it, let someone else do it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's
I'll do it as a business.
Well, the other opportunity also is, because it's a mobile car, you can wheel it around into the international departures lounge. Mm-hmm. And you'd have to get clearances and the like, but there'd be a bit of a process with the Office of Transport and Security and Border Agencies. But you could on a Saturday morning provide that additional F&B, food and beverage service there as well. So we're starting to think that there might be an opportunity.
Don't you?
Sorry?
The F&B, you've got to say it pretty carefully.
So in terms of placemaking and the like, then we're starting to introduce things like an art wall with potentially a three-month installation, local school programs and the like. We think that would be a great idea. Introduce visitor information. So we're talking touch screen, interactive screens within a couple of locations within the terminal that have tourist information on them. Improved terminal amenity, the cleanliness, and we've already started that. Bob's team's already started to look at de-stickering and things like that, and just cleaning up the terminal, getting those return air vents cleaned and the like, and getting the cleaners to do that. So just to improve the general look of the terminal. Introduce wayfinding and replace. So basically with the wayfinding, it's fresh, contemporary signage where it's needed, updated signage, such as the examples that you can see there on the screen. So starting to look at that as well. Public art in front of the terminal. That's a good example of what we're talking about. This sort of stuff where you're actually changing the look of the existing structure through clever use of art. So we'll be early next year calling for expressions of interest from local artists and regional artists to come and potentially do something to the front of the terminal, which which will go through a vetting process, obviously, but we don't want inappropriate tags on the building or anything like that. But,
is the front of the terminal like the car park side or is it the air side?
No, I'm talking car park side. So car park. What the public sees most of the time.
Because can we do the air side wall as well?
Yeah, potentially we can. Yeah, well, and we've actually talked about using a screening wall to screen the operations building, which is you create a scaffold structure and there's this material that you put up. You can still see through it, so the operation people can still see the apron and everything else, but it actually puts a pattern up in front of the building. And that was about $60,000, but we can do that. So then there's the shade cloths as well, and we're just talking the entrances here, but just through some smart overlapping of some sail cloths, we can create some extra shelter there. We're also talking about we've got some structures to put up on the verge, which we want to progress with, and some landscaping across the road there as well, just to clean all that area up there as well, and removing the smoking from the front of the terminal. And we do have to inform the cafe that technically they're non-compliant in terms of smoking in that outside area as well, so just to clean that area up. That's not going to be popular, but it has to be done. All right, so that program's around the $800,000 currently costed, and it does involve a whole range of things, but that's in the agenda item today as well. Just really quickly finishing off, and I know I've taken way too long. In terms of the screening authority, update on that one was council obviously approved the interim 12-month contract with MSS. So that's one piece of the puzzle that's been ticked. We have verbal confirmation from OTS that they'll accept the use of the Qantas equipment for about a 3-month time frame at this stage. We're trying to extend that, so I'm waiting on written confirmation from them. I've requested the ability to use that equipment up until October. That'll enable us to tender in the next budget period for new screening equipment, estimated around $500,000. It is fully cost recovered through a passenger charge, which we will be bringing to council early next year as a revenue line item. Current costs at the moment for the MSS contracts around the $1.25 million, as I said, which is fully cost recovered. And we'll be bringing a proposal to council early next year. Once we've got the OTS confirmation, we're pretty much there to make the application to become the screening authority, at least on an interim basis. That will then enable us to go to full tender and buy us the time that we need to tender the service contract as well as the equipment contract. And the Pilbara Regional Council, I'm expecting a document from them early next week, actually, now, so we'll wait and see what that looks like. The things we need to tick off is we need to have an agreement with MSS, we need to have an agreement with Qantas, we need to have all of the equipment listed, serial, model and the like, we need to have maintenance agreements, and a lot of that stuff we've now got. And then we need to amend the terminal security program, what's called the TSP, and then pretty much we can make our application. That's about right, Bob, isn't it? So Bob's managing that application process for us. And so the intent is that we will become the screening authority by April next year. That's the timeline. And then we will tender for the various bits and pieces. That'll also give us time to talk to airlines and agree the passenger charge going through the security services charge going forward. Just finally on the April, we've mentioned the April works. I don't know if there's anything else we need to say about that apart from it's just the line marking to do now and the like, and it's done.
Cool.
That's me.
Thanks. Sorry,
just a comment. It gets back to aligning our fees and charges, and if we are, we'll have to set that fee and charge through the council fees and charges process. For the screening, which is probably one that we don't currently have sitting in our...
And the regular public notice.
Yeah, Shire Road will be the same, and it might as well be very similar, I would imagine.
Mm. Our charges are within 30 cents of each other per passenger.
Cool. Mm. Well, thank you, Brett. Councillors, do we have any questions or comments about Brett's presentation? Beautiful. Thank you very much. That was very encompassing. All right, move on to item 10.1, Port Hedland International Airport Projects Update, November 2013, with the officer's recommendation on page 11. And are there any points of clarification? Can I have a mover? Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Thank you, seconded by Councillor Gillingham. All in favour? five love. I love the word love, but I don't know. Port Hedland International Airport Development Communication Strategy, with the officer's recommendation on page 17. Has everybody had a chance that you got the communication strategy attached? Yep. Are there any points of clarification?
I'd like to clarification, so much.
Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Moved by. Seconded. Thank you, Councillor Gillingham. All in favour? 5-0. Okay, 10.3, response to draft WA Aviation Strategy as prepared with the officer's recommendation on page 25.
Just through the chair, that the public comment closes on 23rd of December.
Mm-hmm.
So has anything been received to date, do we know?
Just Councillor Gillingham, it's actually a state strategy we're making a response to.
Sorry.
So anyone can make a response to that, but as the airport, as the town of Port Hedland, we've responded as the letter attached there. Are there any points of clarification?
Happy.
Thank you, Mayor Howlett. Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Seconded. All in favour? 5-0. Then 10.4, Port Hedland International Airport Interim Improvement Strategy, with the officer's recommendation on page 33. Are there any points of clarification?
Sorry.
Yes,
is there any chance with the underlining here that we can have a breakdown of what the the quotations are and all the stuff that... $800,000.
Thank you, Councillor Butson. I'll refer that to the Program Director of the Airport Development.
No problem at all. Yeah, we can provide you the breakdown of the costings of the various elements.
Yeah, and with some of those there, will we be repeating that again later on? Some of these things have been done. Like signage and all that sort of stuff, is that going to be repeated again?
Some of it will be reused. Some of it will be reused. Yeah.
Thank you. Have you got any other further clarifications? No? I have a mover for the... Thank you, Councillor Burnham. Seconded. Thank you, Councillor Hunt. All in favour? 5-0.
Thank you.
Item 10.5, alteration to lease for portion of Port Hedland International Airport Terminal to Qantas Airways Limited for self-check-in kiosks, with the officer's recommendation on... commencing at page 39 and concluding on page 40. Are there any points of clarification? I have a point of clarification, please. Just a question relating to...
Through the chair, isn't it?
Through the chair, yes. Through myself. Through this. I just wanted to know if we've calculated the anticipated lease income as part of the LTFP. And what impact it might have to the budget. It's not much, but is that already calculated inside of it?
Through the chair, no. It hasn't been put into this year's budget yet.
Yep. And the second point of clarification is, do we have an obligation to agree to what they've asked for, and why would we consider reducing something that we could have an income for?
Through the chair, we haven't reduced the rental fee, so we and initially Qantas, I think they offered us $1 a year or something per kiosk, so when this resolution was presented to them, they weren't happy with that. They agreed to the rental amount, but with a reduced term, and because the valuation was difficult to obtain because there's no comparable evidence in the state or anywhere else, so this is going to potentially be better for us, because at a 3-year point when we do evaluation, there'll be other comparable rents, so we'll have an opportunity to review that.
I just have one more point of clarification. Have we got, I think you might have just answered the question, but can we not ring up a Perth airport or other airport to find out what they charge? And because $1 a year is insulting, at the very least.
Through the chair, when we gathered all the information for what Qantas were paying for this sort of thing everywhere else. There was nobody that were that really had any agreements. I think maybe Newman and Karratha had agreed to let them do it for a dollar, so we were one step ahead.
Suckers!
Oh my goodness.
If I may, Chair.
Yes.
It's fair to say that it was a robust negotiation with Qantas, and they came back at 750 at one point in time, and the compromise was the 1,500 per kiosk for the 2 years with a 2-year option, rather than the 5 years to allow us a chance to revisit it again. The evidence that we had established and conversations that were had with other airports had indicated there was a range. I guess there was no clear market, so there was a range of arrangements. Some charging more, some charging less, some charging nothing, as Sarah has just pointed out. So with Karratha establishing their new terminal, the indications from them was that they were looking at substantially more than 1,500. So this allows us an opportunity to revisit this sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Are there any other points of clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion? So thank you, Mayor Howlett. So moved. Seconded. Thank you, Councillor Gillingham. All in favour? Let the record reflect 5-0. Right. Item 11. Late items were permitted by presiding members of the member of the airport committee. There being nil. Item 12, motions of which previous notice has been given. There is also nil. Item 13, confidential items, there are nil. And item 14, applications for leave of absence. Councillor Gillingham.
Yes, thank you. 2nd of January through to the 2nd of February.
Thank you. Councillor Buxton.
23rd of December to the 11th of January.
11th of January? Yep. Mayor Howlett.
No.
You're not getting anything for the next 12 years. Don't even try. 12 months, sorry. Councillor Hunt, you too.
20th to the 27th of December. Just a couple of days.
And I have an application from the 19th of December to the 10th of January. May I have a mover for those applications of leave? Thank you, Councillor Hunt, and seconded by Mayor Howlett. Okay,
Madam Chair, before you close the meeting, just wondering, and perhaps Secretarial Governance support.
Before you ask that, may we have a vote on that leave of absence, 5-0? Thank you very much.
Just wondering if we could be, to help with keeping track of everything, if we could have a new item 15, and this is where we ask for applications for members to take part by teleconference, so then that feeds it into the next council meeting. Could we do that?
Yes, we can, but I'll just update you on some conversation that's already been had, and I'm pretty sure it came from governance, and you might have a copy of the conversation there. Pretty much we had considered that, but we were going to do it on a monthly basis rather than putting in as a resolution, because then it would require us to accept it. Is that right?
It's passed on to the council meeting. Yeah. That's what I just thought. Nice way to capture it.
So it's just more of a prompt, suggesting the agenda framework.
Yeah,
sure.
Because then I just think that might help guide people and then get it in time, so it helps us get it to council meetings.
Sure. With that recommendation, shall we just accept that as a motion? Can we do that now or not?
Through the chair, we can look at the agenda framework and just see whether we can put an additional item 15, a new item 15, and close will become item 16, and it's just seeking any applications from members for attendance other than in person.
Yeah,
great suggestion. Thank you, Mayor Howlett. Anything else? Well, that having been said, the next airport committee meeting will be held on Wednesday, the 15th of January, 2014. Yahoo.
Did anyone have any applications to do it by teleconference?
Not this time, because Ken had initially. Oh, sorry, did anyone want it for the January meeting?
Through the chair, I won't be available for that day.
Would you like to do it by phone?
I'll be able to.
I'm
actually
look for a deputy.
So, everyone else fine? Okay, fine. So before we close, I should thank the staff and the executives of the Airport Committee for their efforts and service through the year. It's been fantastic. I'm sure 2014 is going to be very exciting. So thank you very much for your attendance and your service. Wishing you all a very merry and a safe happy Christmas and see you all in the new year.
Thank you.